You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you a little Christmas Day special. It's something post-Christmas that we're going to be discussing some of the things that have been happening over the Timberwolves season. It kind of going over what's transpired over around getting close to 30 games here. We're not quite to the halfway mark yet, but Christmas, you got the Christmas break, and you've got the Christmas Day slate of games. Kind of a good time to go back, discuss what has been going down over the season, what we've liked, what we've had problems with. And here to break all of that down with me, we have, he's been on the show before, Darius Retscher, Judge Fudge. We got him back on the show. Thanks for coming back on, Darius.
It is a pleasure, especially over the holiday season. Looking forward to a great podcast today.
And we have a new guest on, Andrew Weber. We call him Weber. Back where we're from, but he is on the pod for the first time today. Welcome, Andrew.
Nice to be here, Colton. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so both these guys, both of you are connoisseurs of basketball and of Minnesota sports. And so we're going to go through a little bit of a Christmas bag, a little bit of a Christmas-themed podcast here because it is that time of year.
A Christmas wish list, if you will.
Exactly. And so we're going to have, we each have one thing selected from the Timberwolves season, from the first chunk of games, from the first 3 months or so, that we wish was different. Just one thing that we, if we could go back and change, we definitely would. So we're going to start out, new guy, Weber.
Ooh.
We're going to go with you. What is one thing you could change from this past Timberwolves season?
Well, for me, if you go back to the summer and everything that was happening this summer, all the hype around the Timberwolves, one of the things that I wish would have happened is the Kyrie trade going through.
Ooh. Yeah. Kyrie in a Timberwolves jersey?
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about Kyrie, he's just one of those players that kind of transforms the league. You see how what he's doing in Boston, and it's just crazy. And it's pretty exciting to watch. And I think if the Timberwolves were able to make that trade and pull through with it, it could have changed the Wolves season. Not that Teague is bad or a bad fit for us, but I just think having Kyrie could have shaped our season a little differently.
Now you're saying still get Jimmy Butler, right?
Yes, for
so
sure.
You're straight up, you're probably losing Wiggins to Cleveland in that one. You're losing the Utah pick. Judge Fudge, who else do you think they lose? I know they weren't really close to a trade, so you can't really get all the aspects of it for just the perfect kind of comparison, but you probably lose at least one other piece, maybe Gorgui Dieng or something like that off the bench to get Kyrie in Minnesota. Because if we're gonna go down this trail, we got to try and get as close to a realistic trade as we can.
Yes, absolutely. And it was absolutely going to be Andrew Wiggins, high draft pick, maybe two high draft picks, and then with just the lack of depth on a bench, it had to be like a Gorgui Dieng, and that's a big contract for someone else to take on. We don't know if they would because we are paying him a lot of money, but it's probably going to be those two picks and those two guys. It definitely would have been Wiggins that they wanted.
The first thing that comes to mind is if they do this, do the Timberwolves, are they forced into the Tristan Thompson contract? Is that one of the kind of caveats, is that you think that Cleveland offloads Tristan Thompson onto the Timberwolves if they do go for this trade?
Possible. I guess you got to think, I guess you have to think about those facets, and that might have been something that had to have happened to have the Wolves be able to make this trade. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably, but I'm just talking about like purely from an excitement level and just having like a player like Kyrie on the team. I think it would have been worth it in the long run.
I'm willing to make the argument that Kyrie Irving is a blue chip player in the league, one of those guys that makes the franchise because of what he's done without Gordon Hayward on the team. That said, I'm not sure if Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving go together. I'm not. What do you think, Judge Fudge? Do you think that they can play together? I think at the end of a game in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler is one of those guys, especially what we've seen in December, he needs the ball and he needs to have control of the game. And I don't know if he plays well with Kyrie Irving game in and game out.
You would have asked me this question 2 months ago, I would have disagreed with you. But now, as Jimmy Butler's coming to his own with this team, and you see him leading us to victories at the end of a game, he's taking charge, he's running this team at the end. Now I'm going to agree with that 100% because you see Kyrie doing the exact same thing in Boston. Two big alpha male guys that are really running just the end of games through themselves, making the decisions. I'm going to shoot this. You're going to shoot this. And you just see two guys that are 100% doing that. If you would have asked me 2 months ago when it was kind of up in the air, Wiggins was taking a lot at the end. Cat was taking a lot at the end. Jimmy was taking a lot at the end. And you didn't have Jimmy Butler kind of in that general role. general, you know, like leading them through it. But now he definitely is, and Kyrie's in that same spot. They wouldn't have fit together.
You have Jimmy Butler averaging 25.7 points per game in December. So he's definitely taken on that role of being the primary guy scoring wise, especially in the end of a game, taking over and winning these games for the Timberwolves. I don't know. Weber, I love Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they pair well together. That said, he would be an exciting piece to have in the Target Center.
Yeah, and you never really know. Like you guys are saying, like you can't just go back in time and you can't like see right now, well, oh, this is a scenario and we know how they would have played together. But if it's me and I'm looking under my tree on Christmas morning for this wish list and I see Kyrie in a Timberwolves jersey underneath the tree, I'm pretty excited about it. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out like back in the day if that would have happened.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And like, I don't think they would have fit together, but when you think, you know, just having Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Kyrie Irving on the same team, that's, you know, how can you not throw mm-hmm. that on your Christmas wish list? Because there was so much talk about that in the offseason. It seemed like a very real possibility time.
It was exciting, like, as a Timberwolves fan to be, like, in the midst of even that conversation, like, you think how good the team is getting with when we made the Butler trade and then just the pieces falling into place. Then, like, thinking about having Kyrie on the team was just like, oh, man, this is great. This could be amazing.
Well, and that's why, all right, so this is a little bit off topic, but it's kind of in the same vein, because when I thought that there was that couple weeks where Kyle Lowry might be going to the Timberwolves, there was a chance to get him. I was really excited for him because I think, unlike Kyrie Irving, I think Kyrie Irving is a better player, don't get me wrong, but if you have Kyle Lowry, I think he's a guy who's more apt to sit on the outside and be fine taking perimeter shots, and I think he really helps the offense of the Timberwolves spread the floor better. And he plays next to DeMar DeRozan. So there's plenty of nights where DeMar DeRozan is in control of the offense. Now, Kyle Lowry can control the offense, but he doesn't need to be the primary scorer or even to be crucial in that offense. I think Kyrie Irving, you need him to have the ball in his hand. And with Kyle Lowry, you don't need him to do that. So that's why I was so excited about the potential to have Kyle Lowry on the Timberwolves, just because I think he fits a lot better next to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, he's like a star without the star factor almost.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be the centerpiece every single night. And he's one of those guys who can just instantly get hot from outside. And he would have been a fun piece. That said, maybe in pursuit of a ring outside of LeBron and you're going up against the Warriors, maybe Irving does kind of meld into one of those guys that can mm-hmm. shoot from outside. And if you're just thinking just objectively, if you have Wiggins or a guy like Kyrie on the outside, that definitely is helping spread the floor a lot better than what they have right now. Because right now it's basically Jamal Crawford spreading the floor for him. And so I guess if we're looking at this one, Judge Fudge, give us a final verdict. You think yay or nay on this one? This is a good item to have on the Christmas list, or maybe this is just Weber Weber?
I'm going to go with just Weber Weber on this one, because I think the main point, the reason seems so appealing, and I understand why it seems so appealing, is because Andrew Wiggins hasn't been showing up in several games for a few weeks, maybe a month now, and it just seems like, you know, you want to go back and you wish you could have Kyrie, but I do believe in Andrew Wiggins in the future, which is why I'm going to say it's not on my Christmas wish list.
We'll see how he pans out.
All right, you know what? Let me defend my boy Wiggins here for a second, because he's been maligned this month for good reason. He has been very poor. He's been through a terrible shooting slump in December. Some of that is because Jimmy Butler has been fine taking over the offense and not dishing out to him anymore. Some of that is because he's just not hitting from outside. But his defense, from where, if you go from last season, the end of last season, to where we are right now, very improved, very improved. He is a much better defender. And that definitely, if you had told me at the beginning of the season that he was only going to score about maybe 10 points a game through December, I would have said that's going to be a real problem. But because he's developed so much as a defender over only a few months, and how good he has looked against the second best player on an offense over the first few months of the season, that makes him still a viable starter because he's developed as a defender. And so while the shooting is a problem and it does need to get fixed, he's not a negative on the floor anymore like I think he would have been last year if he goes through this slump.
The other thing you have to consider now is he's not the number one in the offense. He's not the number two in the offense. He's the third option behind Butler and Cat. And so it's harder to get out of a slump when you're not getting consistent baskets. If LeBron gets in a slump, he can take as many shots as he wants to break that. Wiggins doesn't have that luxury as the third option in this offense.
We are going to get to Judge Fudge's Christmas list wish after this quick break. All right, what do you got for us? What is your Christmas list? What was one thing that you could go back and change about the first part of the Timberwolves season, if you could?
All right, so we're going to do a little deep dive stats here, but the Timberwolves are, depending on how you want to look at it, either the worst or second worst team in point differential in the fourth quarter. They're almost always going in the fourth quarter with a lead, and they're almost always giving it up or really, you know, fighting it out at the end. They're huge point differentials in the second and third quarters. They're doing phenomenal there, but they're not just closing games out. And I don't know if that's because the starters are playing so many minutes, just a lack of depth on the bench, but it's just they're not closing out fourth quarters. And if it was just, you know, on my wish list, I want them to play maybe not even as well as the second, first, and third quarters, but just close to as well in the fourth quarter. Because right now they're just not looking good in the fourth quarter, and it's bothering me. And I feel like if that's something that can be tweaked, if I could go back and tweak it, I would absolutely do that.
I know these are wins, but the Clippers games definitely come to mind when we're talking about just end-of-game performances and Austin Rivers and Lou Williams able to shoot themselves back into that game against the Timberwolves. Definitely a good point to bring up. What do you think about this, Weber? What do you think about how the Wolves have been closing out games? Because you have those stats on the one side, but on the other side, Jimmy Butler's looked really good at the end of a game, man.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with this point, because I think one of the most frustrating things as a fan of the NBA or any sport in general is when you get to the end of a game and your team can't finish it out. And that's what it seems like the Wolves have been doing lately. And Colton, I haven't listened to the past couple podcasts, but could you talk a little bit about the minutes and if you think that's a factor, the minutes that are...
I did not like Jimmy Butler averaging, I think it was in the first seven games of the December, he was averaging 41 minutes. Did not like that. And it's not... You can argue about player getting fatigue, and I have made that argument before, player fatigue and how you have to... It's a marathon, not a sprint. More so, though, it's so crucial to get guys on the bench minutes, because right now, Jamal Crawford is the one spacing the floor. He had six three-pointers against the Denver Nuggets, and he was the only player to attempt more than four shots from outside the arc. More than that, Jimmy Butler is your primary scorer. Jimmy Butler's best season, averaging three-point attempts, was 3.3s per game when he was with the Bulls. I think it was back in 16. But that was his best, 3.3 per game through a season. He's not going to take a bunch of threes from outside. So if the only thing you're doing when you're giving more minutes to the bench is just getting Jamal Crawford in the lineup more, I think that's important just because he's one of the few guys spacing the floor. And you saw that Bielitsa was another guy who spaced the floor a little bit too for the Timberwolves. He's been injured, I know. But once he comes back, getting him more minutes, you had Marcus Georges Hunt has some really solid minutes. Tyus Jones is playing really well off the bench when he gets more minutes. You just got to give these guys, you got to spread around the minutes just because there's talent on there that is helping the starters. And when you're not letting them get minutes, they're not affecting the game the way I think they could and the way the potential is there.
Yeah, and that's for sure going to help in the fourth quarter, especially if we're talking about closing out games.
Well, in some of those fourth quarter games too at the beginning of December, like you saw, and you saw Butler getting on guys like Townsend, he was kind of nipping at them for maybe their conditioning and stuff, but when you're playing so many minutes and some of those back-to-backs, you're just going to be gassed no matter what. I mean, Butler is just a special player in the way he attacks the offseason. I don't know if you guys read that Vice piece about in the offseason what he's doing, but he's almost LeBron-esque the way he approaches an offseason to basketball. Not everybody is like that, and while I think it's good to have Jimmy Butler on the roster, and he's going to change some of those factors about how they approach an offseason, this young team, how they approach an offseason. That's not happening right now, and so you've got to have that in mind when you're managing the minutes. And that's just a thing that we always keep coming back to with a Thibodeau-run team, but it's one of the main factors. And so, Judge Fudge, if you're looking at the minutes, or not the minutes, the scoring in the fourth quarter, what's one thing that sticks out to you that you want to see different? What if you're looking at what they're doing to give up all these points, is it something defensively? Do you just want somebody to maybe score? Or is it just, do you think Jimmy Butler taking over the end of games is the answer?
I don't know if it's the end of games as much, but when we talk about getting backups in the game, I think it has to come in the second and third quarters, right? So we're not putting them in at the end of the fourth quarter, or we're not forcing those starters to play so many extra minutes. If we can get our backups when the game's, you know, 50-50 scores going back and forth in the second and third quarters, where you could argue the minutes aren't necessarily as valuable, then we're going to get a full strength Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Taj Gibson, all those guys at the end of the game. So I think the key to this is either getting more bench depth, whether it's by trading or just, I don't know, finding someone in the G League that's going to be able to get just some bench minutes, but also getting our existing bench guys in the second and third quarters, less crucial minutes, and we can let our stud five really close out games then and not be gassed when they're trying to close out games.
And I think, too, when you're giving a guy like Tyus Jones, 25 minutes, I think that's when he gets his best results. I don't really think that Tyus Jones is a guy where he's going to leap out at you his minutes if he's playing 10 a game. I don't think he's that guy that's going to come off the bench, knock down a couple jumpers in 10 minutes, and then you come away and you're like, oh, that was solid minutes for him. I'm glad we had that. I think he's one of those guys where he needs to play like 22 minutes, and then over the course of that 22 minutes, you're going to see the things he does in the offense to help open up guys, the things he does on defense to force the ball into maybe the third best shooter's hands. That kind of things, I think, shows over an expansive minutes, and I know there's only so many you can give in a game, but they're definitely there to get to him, and it's just how you've worked around a lineup and how you figure out how to get guys in and how you work out when players are going to play and how they affect a game. They're there. You gotta figure it out, but you gotta get Tyus Jones in there more. I think you gotta get Jamal Crawford in there a sustainable amount, over 20 minutes. I think you want him like 21 minutes, I would say. But that's just me. Where do you guys stand on the bench right now? This is an interesting question. Since you bring up just how the bench affects how they play at the end of a game, do you think that at the All-Star break, let's just pretend Wiggins is still in a slump, they're still not doing great in the fourth quarter, do you think they feel the need to make a trade for another B-roll player? Do you think they have the pick they acquired from Utah in the Rubio trade, and they have some guys on the bench that maybe they could move, like a Aldrich, and you have maybe they're willing to move like a Marcus Georges Hunt or something like that. Do you think that if Wiggins is still in that slump, do you think they're willing to make a move for a bench player? Somebody to really solidify next to Crawford?
I'm going to say no, and I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder that I know is coming up here. And it's because this team is projected a massive swing in games. They might win 15 to 20 more games than they did last year, right? So if we're on that pace, I don't think we need to blow up the future, giving up draft picks, giving up other things, because, I mean, we're progressing forward. I just don't think we can reach for it all right now. I think we need to continue to develop where we are. And I think instead of going and bringing someone in, it would make so much more sense just to manage the minutes we have better, right? So bringing more people in isn't going to solve the problem if we're not managing our minutes properly. So we have to solve it internally before we can solve it externally.
Mm-hmm. And I'd agree with that. I think it's just the cohesiveness of the bench and trying to allot those minutes and making sure that things run together more efficiently. I think that's just what we're missing right now. And I think that if we're able to find that, then we'll be a better team in the long run.
All right. We're going to get to mine. We're going to have one more quick break, and then we're going to get to what I have on my Christmas list before we close out the show here. So what I have on my list is I would like more positivity from everybody around this organization. I read a really great article on SB Nation about this. I've read articles on, I believe it was The Ringer, Bleacher Report. I know I read an article on this, where you have outside media coming from the East Coast, from the West Coast, and you have those kind of guys looking at this situation and looking at how the fans around the Timberwolves approach this, how the media around the Timberwolves approach this. And for the most part, and I'm not accusing specific people, but I'm just telling you what they've seen and what they're kind of telling us that they've seen is kind of a negativity around a team that is playing really well. They're the fourth best team in the West. They're on pace to win 49 games, which is 18 games better than they had last year at 31 wins. So 49 wins, on pace to do that. They have all these new pieces, all these young players, all this young talent that they're developing and they're working on, and they've really done a great job of getting players now to win while setting themselves up for the future with the way they've constructed contracts, with the guys they've brought in. You have Jimmy Butler, who's a 28-year-old. You can have him. He's got at least four more great years ahead of him, four more All-Star years ahead of him, you would think. And so they've done a great job building around these young guys, and you still have people who are upset about the minutes, upset about losses, upset about who's getting what kind of shots and slumps that Wiggins in. And you just got to let this ship kind of ride it out through the storm. And you alluded to this earlier. You just kind of let this unit ride it out and see what you got before even tinkering with it or even having a problem with it. This is a really good team. This is a really good team. They're going to fall into 40 wins, whether they like it or not, because they have that much talent on this team. Wiggins, I think, has potential to be an All-Star. Butler is for sure an All-Star level talent, multiple-time All-Star level talent. Towns, he might be an all-timer. If he gets the defense figured out, he might be an all-timer, one of those all-time unicorns.
He might be winning a couple MVPs, yeah, before it's all said and done.
Sure.
Maybe. He's got the potential there. And so you have all that on the roster. Teague is a great, solid piece. Jamal Crawford, Taj Gibson, solid pieces, solid role guys. Tyus Jones is a solid guy off the bench. This is a really good team, and I think it's easy after so many years of mediocre to have all the expectation come in and kind of overshadow what the team's doing in the actual season. So I think tempered expectations and maybe just enjoying what we have right now. You don't want to be not critical of some things in a game because you don't want to approach stuff with a blind eye. That can be a problem. But at the same time, you can enjoy what we have right now and just let the ship ride out because there's going to be some bumps along the way. It's not going to fix itself all in the first few months, but they're still a really good team. What say you to that?
I think at the beginning of the year, right, we go back to where people are projecting this Wolves team's going to fall. They're going to make the playoffs. Everyone agreed on that. Sixth seed, seventh seed, you know what, maybe even a little higher. Fifth seed was a pretty bold call. And now they're sitting pretty in the fourth seed, and, you know, people are, like, complaining about it, and it feels like they could ride out that fourth seed. I don't know how we went from being pretty satisfied, you know, grabbing that sixth, fifth seed to being, like, we're playing very poorly at the fourth seed. It's a little perspective. I think just go back, think about where we thought they'd be, and I think they're there. They're riding this fourth seed, and you think we have a reason to complain? We haven't been to the playoffs in over a decade.
13 years.
Yeah.
The Seattle Supersonics have been to the playoffs more recently than the Timberwolves. I love that stat. And not just, I mean, Oklahoma City, we're doing better than them and all the talent they have. They're a mess. I think a little perspective will go a long way with this team.
Yeah. And I think just not falling into that trap of the media influence and how good the Wolves can be.
Yeah, let's not say anything bad about the media.
No.
It's the local media, though, because I think if
too.
You look at the national scale, they're like, hey, look at this Timberwolves team. It's a threat. And here we're like bashing our own team. It just mm-hmm. doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's just like trying to be happy with what we have because it's so exciting as a Timberwolves fan to see this team being on the rise. But it's hard because like even with national media, not just local media, like if you think about how the 76ers have been covered the past couple of years with just their star power and how they've been on the rise, that's kind of how I equate the Wolves right now. And with their star power and like making trades now that we have a good team, it's hard to like be satisfied with what we have, but really just enjoy it. Because as a Minnesota sports fan, you haven't seen a good Timberwolves basketball team like this in so long. So I agree with you, Colton. I think it's a great point, and that's a good Christmas wish list.
I think part of it, too, kind of plays into how there's been some defensive plays by Towns that have turned into gifts. It's kind of like equivalent to when Harden had those plays a few years ago where he just didn't try on defense. And so that's kind of one of the things is that you hammer away at the minutes and then you get upset about Towns and his defensive plays that you see all over the internet people making fun of. And all of a sudden you're critiquing more than you're appreciating. And you have to sit back and really appreciate some of the great things this team is doing. And like I'm saying, and I've said this a lot, is there's so much talent on this team, they're going to fall into 40 wins, whatever happens. Yeah. Unless Towns, knock on wood, but unless Towns, Wiggins, and Butler all get injured in one game for the rest of the season, they're going to fall into 40 wins. And you just got to enjoy it, and they haven't been to the playoffs in 13 years, and you got to enjoy being in the playoffs at all, and having a fourth seed is amazing. And so hopefully we can all just look at the Timberwolves with a little grain of salt and realize that they're doing a lot better than we thought they would, and maybe that's a little unfortunate just because now we're coming down on them, I think, harder than we should. When there's going to be bumps and bruises, and they're going to have to iron some things out over the course of this season. But there we go. Those are pretty solid wish lists. That's some pretty good Christmas gifts to ask for, I think.
I'm impressed.
I agree. I mean, can we just realize they'd be hosting a home playoff series right now? I mean, that right there is the ultimate Christmas.
It's only up from here.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe we'll make some magic happen in the rest of the season, too.
Yeah, hopefully today we installed a little hope, you know, and got rid of a little of that bitterness that everyone seems to have for these Wolves that are playing pretty darn good basketball.
Hey, I'm happy with it.
I have a real shot to really lock in on this fourth seed. Would that be the best case scenario is playing Oklahoma City if they climb up to a fifth seed and playing them in the first round, OKC versus the Timberwolves?
I think if you think about the matchups that we've had with them already this year, absolutely. I think we match up with them pretty well. And what's the series? Is it 1-1 or is it?
Well, no, they're 2-1.
2-1.
2-1 against the OKC.
Yeah. I mean, just going off of that, yeah.
Yeah, I really, if OKC is the fifth seed and I'm the Timberwolves, I just, for some reason, I really feel like there's going to be one of those like 2013 Rockets, was it? That where like Dwight Howard is leaving the game early and Patrick Beverley's trying to punch somebody. And I think that there's a little bit of that potential on the OKC, the Oklahoma City Thunder, where you have like Carmelo Anthony like really upset that he's on the bench, and then there's a huge argument, and then Westbrook is like shoving people on the bench in a timeout. I think there's potential for this. This team is kind of a head case.
Yeah, you say whatever you want, but I want nothing to do with Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. Nothing to do with Russell Westbrook in the playoffs.
I'm just saying, if I have to play, because here's your options. If you're not playing OKC, then you're a lower seed than the fifth seed, and so you're playing the Rockets, the Warriors, or San Antonio.
Oh, I understand who we'd be playing. I just don't share your confidence that I don't know, Russell West. There's a lot of talent on that team.
I mean, Russell's a great player, absolutely, but I think just the rest of the Thunder team, like if you look at that, I think we match up pretty well, and I think just their like the players, the starting five, and how tough it is for them to like share the ball. I think we do match up pretty well, and we could pull that out.
I was pretty against this when we started this conversation, like just a minute ago. But it's kind of a dawning realization that the best case scenario might be playing OKC in the first round of the playoffs. That sounds crazy to say with all the talent that's on that team, but that might be the best case scenario, and that just goes to show you how deep the West is.
You can beat the Thunder in a couple games. You can win some games in a playoff series against the Thunder. They're not beating the Houston Rockets in a playoff
series.
No,
absolutely not.
And that's a sweep.
I think it's funny because I think we have a kind of a similar vibe to OKC. I think we're a little bit, obviously we're better than them, but I think if you think about the players and just like how the organization has changed within the past year, like I find us very similar to OKC.
A younger, more cohesive version though,
yes.
Which is great.
And yeah, I think we can do pretty well. We could beat them in the playoffs if that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, they can take a series to like a game six with Oklahoma City, but... You're getting swept against the Thunder. You're probably getting swept against the Warriors. And if they figure out, if over the next couple months, Kawhi and kind of shows that they've figured out a way to play LaMarcus Aldridge at the same rate that he started out the season with Kawhi on the floor, then you're probably not beating the San Antonio Spurs in a game against them in the playoffs either.
Yeah, you never want to see Pop in the playoffs ever.
Nope.
Spurs in the playoffs, just no thanks.
No.
All right, well. We got off on a tangent, but that was our Christmas wish list.
Tangent. I learned a little.
Yeah, no,
I changed my perspective on OKC.
Yeah.
That was our Christmas wish list. I hope that everybody has had a good... You'll be listening to this after Christmas, so I hope everybody has had a great Christmas. Remember, travel safe back from wherever you were. And thank you for listening in. Thanks, boys, for coming on. Darius, yeah. Andrew, thanks for coming
enjoy
on.
Enjoy these wolves.
It was great being on the podcast, man. Thanks for having us.
This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.